What a great Sunday. Good to see y'all. Excited to be here, excited about today's message. And we're continuing on with the series Connected and understanding God's plan for us together. And so here's where we've been so far. And really, the reason that I'm even doing this is because God very clearly spoke to me that the word for our church for this year was connect. That we're called to connect to him and connect to godly people. And we're looking at the book of Acts because I think it lays out a really simple plan on how we are called to connect. And we're called to connect first with the place of God. Church isn't like church service isn't the primary place of connection and connecting with God. It's a secondary place. It's a good place. But the first place is you spending time in the place that God has for you. I know where it is for me. For me, it's the mornings. I know the chair that it's in where I'm meeting with God. That's the primary place. This is the secondary place. But the primary place is like your time with God. We're called to be connected to the place of God. But we're also connected, secondly, to the people of God. When you read the first couple chapters in the book of Acts, you realize that Jesus told all of his followers to wait. This is after he's resurrected from the dead. He's like, y'all wait in Jerusalem because there's a gift coming. And so they're waiting in the place that he told them to wait. They're waiting with each other, the people. We're called to be connected, and we need to be not just like acquaintances, but we need to be connected with people, which is why I'm constantly, and you're hearing all of us go, get connected into groups. Why? Because there is such a thing as spiritual family. There is such a thing as life-giving, deep, meaningful relationships with other people who will help you grow and become what God's called you to be. Connected to the place of God, connected to the people of God, the natural flow of what happens when you're connected to the place of God, and it's for real. When you're connected to the people of God, and it's not just a, hi, how are you? It's good to see you. That's not bad. But when you're connected to the place of God and the people of God, the natural byproduct is you will experience the power of God. You may have to wait for it just like they did in Acts, but I promise you, God's power will show up, and it's going to show up in your purpose. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 8, it says, Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But it's, and then he says, the power to be my witnesses. That's what we talked about last week, the purpose. We're called to be connected to the place, the people, the power. And then the purpose of God is for us to be able, with our lips and our lifestyle, to show what it looks like to follow God's purpose and plan for our life because of Jesus. Not just our lips, because we've all met people that gave lip service, but their lifestyle didn't live it out. And not just your lifestyle, because you're so timid and scared that you can't ever open your mouth. It's a combination of both. This is the purpose for which God created us, to be able to be, both with our lips and our lifestyle, the embodiment of what he has for people who are alive, and it should be fun. It doesn't mean that it's without trials and troubles. We talked about St. Paul in Acts chapter 9 last week. About how he says over and over, like he goes in Corinthians, he talks about, listen, I was in jail, I was shipwrecked, I was without food, I was freezing cold, I was stoned, and it's the kind with rocks. And some of y'all are like, me and Paul, like, I got it. Like, he recognized that the purpose of God brings a full life. There's fulfillment there because you're living out your calling. Like, we're living that out. Like, but it wasn't easy, like, for Paul, which means that we have to recognize that there's going to be problems. There's going to be pain. But there's also a promise that holds true if we trust God. And like, you serve Jesus long enough, pretty much everything that happened to him is probably going to happen to you. And you got to be okay with that. You got to walk out that journey. But when you're in the place of God, with the people of God, and you know that the power of God shows up, even when his purpose for you is painful, it's still beautiful because there's a promise that you know is going to come true. That's cool. And so today I want to talk to you about the plan of God. And here's where it gets kind of funky for some people, and I understand it completely. I've been there. Like, I like plans. Like, I like plans. My plan was not to be here today, by the way. My plan was to be on the trail backpacking. And I have, like, a full page, not this is just my notes, but, like, a full page of, like, everything that I have to do for backpacking and how I'm going to plan and prepare. That's just the items that I'm taking. That's not where I'm starting, where I'm finishing, what I'm going to have to do in crossing these rivers and climbing these mountains. It's I like plans. I've also written, like, Have you ever written like a five-year plan? Anybody written like a five-year plan or a 10-year plan or even a one-year plan? Anybody written plans? I like those things. I love plans. Like, it's great. It's like, all right, and here's my 25-year plan. But I've lived long enough to realize that 25-year, and I haven't written a 25-year plan, but a five-year plan, 5 years later, you're like, okay, like most of the stuff on there hasn't happened. Or it's just been like tweaked pretty heavily. And you're like, oh, it's not what I thought, but that's okay. If you're following God. Why is that? Like, everybody wants to know, like, God, what's God's plan for my life? And I don't know what God's specific plan for your life is. If you're supposed to be a teacher, if you're supposed to marry that person, if you're supposed to quit your job and move to this city, I don't know. And I'm just convinced that many times that we miss the long-term plan of God because we don't understand how he operates in the short term. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's David talking about it. Like, God, when you speak to me, or when I read your word, like, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm going to show y'all what that looks like. Somebody give me a lighter. I need a lighter. Don't get religious on me. Some of y'all got a lighter. Somebody give me a lighter. Come on. Yeah, somebody, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Somebody throw me a lighter. I don't care who it is. Throw it at me. That was pretty good. That was fast. I know. Awesome. It's a Tyrannosaurus Rex riding a moped. That's awesome. This is a great example of how God lays out his plans for us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Turn off the lights for me. Just let them go black. Turn off everything. Can y'all turn off the thing? Let's go. Yeah, there we go. See, we want the five-year plan to be able to look way far in the future, but God says that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I got enough light. This is a good lighter. I got enough light to see like the next, like if I'm going to go down here, oh, I can see that step. Like, I can't see past the next couple steps. And because the light's right in front of me, I really can't see y'all either. I see the light, and if I hold it down, I can see the next step. And that's how he gives us his word. You can turn the lights back on. That's probably hot, but here, I'm just going to, there you go, Caitlin. Thank you. You know what? Throwback. I'm probably going to use that again. See, I can see it. The lights are bright up here. Thank you. I'm just going to keep it. Thank you. I like this. No. So here's the thing. We don't always see the long-term plan or play, but we can always know the next step. You know, last week we talked about Paul and his conversion and how it wasn't what he expected. And then his life ended up being difficulty and problems and pain, but there was always a promise. Right after the conversion of Paul, we see in Acts chapter 9, we see Peter. And that's who I want to talk to you about today. Because I want us to recognize that we can be connected to the plan of God. And so turn to Acts chapter 9. If I can turn there. And this is what you need to know. To live out the plan of God, the plan that he has for you. Listen, write your five-year plans. That's a good thing. But just recognize that God reserves the right to show up, shine his light, and show you what the next step actually is. The Bible says, man makes his plan, but the Lord orders his steps. But only the one who's willing to let that light be his guide. Your word. So I want God to speak to you today, and I want you to be in the place of God with the people of God, experiencing the power of God, living out the purpose of God. But you know, and this is very practical, what the plan is, and it's just the next step. To live out the plan of God, though, here's the practical thing. Here's the first one. You have to welcome divine appointments. That means there's some appointments that maybe you haven't put on your day planner. Maybe there's some appointments that aren't on your long term, they're not on your calendar. You're not going to get an alert about it. It's not a doctor's appointment that's in 8 weeks. Maybe there's some divine appointments that God has yet to show you that you're going to have. You just have to welcome them when they show up. So Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 35. I'll read it from here. Meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. It's modern-day Lod. It's just southeast of modern-day Tel Aviv. It's about 15 miles from the coast. There he met a man named Aeneas who had been paralyzed. So this is Peter. He meets a man named Aeneas who had been what?
Paralyzed.
Now, he had never met this dude before. And something happens. He meets this paralyzed guy. He'd been bedridden for 8 years. By the way, it is cold in here. I'm sorry. It's just my feet are still cold. Look at verse 34. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your sleeping mat. And he was healed when? Instantly. He was healed instantly. So I want you to understand that Peter didn't realize that this was going to happen. He just randomly ran into this guy, Aeneas. And when he ran into this guy, Aeneas, by the prompting of God, he spoke the truth in love to him. Like, he loved this guy. He had compassion on him. He saw what was going on. He was modeling what Jesus did. And over it says, Jesus had compassion on those around him, and he healed them. This was not something that he planned out. It wasn't in his day planner. It wasn't like, and at 9:30 on Tuesday, I'm going to run into Aeneas, and I shall heal him. No, he recognized that in that moment, there was a God opportunity. And there was a, and listen to me, I think many times we don't welcome divine appointments. We want them, but we always want to be Aeneas. And even then, sometimes if it's freaky or it's weird, we like back off like, that's kind of crazy. I don't want to know if I want that. And this was a divine appointment both ways. Peter had to recognize that God put this broken man in his path so that he could speak to. Now remember, when we go back to Acts 2, Jesus says that our purpose is to speak, to be a witness with our lips and our lifestyle about what Jesus has done. Peter was connected. This is, by the way, this is the Peter who was like the mess up of all of Jesus's followers. He was the guy that when Jesus said, somebody's going to betray me, I'll never do it, Jesus, you're a liar. He was rebuked by Jesus when Jesus said he was going to have to die. And he's like, no, I'm not going to let you, it'll never happen. I mean, it's a pretty bold statement. And Jesus has to look at him and says, hey, Satan, why don't you get behind me? This is the Peter, denied Jesus when Jesus needed most 3 times, but he was not beyond redemption and he was redeemed and he was used so powerfully at the beginning. Read the first couple chapters of Acts, and we see this Peter, this redeemed Peter, following in the steps of Jesus and recognizing that every moment, see, I got it. Oh, there's a broken guy. This must be in a divine appointment. Let me speak. And he says, hey, Jesus is going to heal you. Roll up your sleeping mat, and he was healed instantly. But for Aeneas, he had to receive it as well. He had to receive it. Look at verse 35. But it wasn't just Peter and Aeneas. It says, then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around, and they turned to the Lord. When you welcome divine appointments, and you realize that it's something that God's placed in front of you, whether you're the Peter who's speaking or you're the Aeneas who's receiving, everybody around you is affected. And so if you want to know what the plan of God is, it's for you to recognize, oh, this might be a divine appointment. You know, Aeneas could have said, dude, I don't even know who you are. That's kind of weird. I've been paralyzed my whole life, and now you're telling me to get up and walk? That's stupid. If I get up, I'm going to be like, eh, and I'm going to make a fool of myself. Aeneas could have said, no, heck no, you're crazy, man. Don't discount a divine appointment because it may be the place of healing for you. Yeah. And don't hesitate to speak life and truth and follow in the footsteps of Jesus and welcome a divine appointment. Lord, who is it today? You got somebody for me? What is it? Lord, I just want to speak your truth. I want to speak your life. Welcome divine appointments. the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Emmaus walking around, and they turned to the Lord. Now, this is thousands of people. It's a big impact. I'm sure Peter starts thinking, this is amazing. Man, all of these people, Jesus said that these people were like sheep without a shepherd. I need to teach them about everything that Jesus taught me. And like the power of God is that was Jesus. Like I need to let them know this wasn't me. And like I need to teach them what Jesus taught us. So like everybody gather around. Listen, we gotta go to a synagogue together. Like we're gonna have to really, like I'm telling you, God's gonna do some big things here. It's like the start of a whole church. Y'all follow me. But then verse 36 happens. Can we put up verse 36? So Peter, now this is, I have a question. Was that a pretty amazing divine appointment? Yeah. Peter sees the broken guy, paralyzed. Jesus is going to heal you. Why don't you get on up? Really? Okay, let's go. And he stands up, and then everybody freaks out and gives their life to Christ. You'd freak out too if that happened. There was so now the next verse. There was a believer in Joppa. Joppa is just south about Tel Aviv, and the way that it works out, if you're looking at Israel, so there's Tel Aviv, there's Jaffa, which just for you bibliophiles, that's also Joppa. Joppa and Jaffa are the same location in Israel today. So Tel Aviv, Joppa, which is where Jonah, that's the port that he went to. And so Lydda and Sharon are right over here, about 15 miles each direction. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor, verse 37. About this time, she became ill and died, and her body was washed for burial and was laid in the upstairs room. So Tabitha dies, verse 38. But the believers heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda, so they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. Peter had a divine appointment with Emmaus, totally healed. Thousands of people's lives are impacted. They're following Jesus now. He's got a big responsibility, doesn't he? Man, I got to stay here and teach these people everything Jesus taught me. I got to be a light in them, and I got to be a leader for them. And then these two dudes show up. Please, this Tabitha, she died. Now, they walked 15 miles. That's about a day's walk. That's a good clip, day's walk. Like, you're walking most of the day because it's hilly terrain through there. So, please, come as soon as possible. Look at verse 39. So, Peter returned with them. Wait, time out, what? How did that happen? Here's how. Because if we're going to live out God's plan for us, we don't have to just welcome divine appointments. We also need to accept divine intervention. Can we put that up? Can we put those up? It's one and two. We need to accept divine intervention. God's plan for you, remember, it's this. Lord, are you showing me the next step? All he had to do was, Peter had to do was speak to Emmaus, and all Emmaus had to do in that moment of light was receive. Now, Peter has a big responsibility for all these believers, and then two guys show up, and you know what it is? It's that all over again. Do I go? Sometimes you're going to have the opportunity to stay where you are, continue on, or turn back. And you have to know what it is. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door is going to be opened. So on the backpacking trip that I was on, I knew it had been raining a lot before I went, but there was going to be a dry season of about 4 days, and I was going to do 31 miles, 5 river crossings, 5 mountains in 3 days. But it had been raining a lot. I knew that. But the weather was going to be colder, but not too bad. Well, get on the trail with a buddy, and it's cold. It was supposed to be 39, and it never got above 30. Snow flurries all day, and we're hiking through the mountains. And the first river crossing, I'm pretty surprised at how high the water is. It's passable, but it's sketchy. And it's one of the easier crossings, but I'm like, you know what? We'll just cross that river when we get to it. And so it's both the Little Missouri and tributaries of the Little Missouri. This is a tributary of the Little Missouri, and it's only probably this deep, but it's moving really fast. And I don't know if you've ever crossed rivers like that. It can be actually fairly harrowing because that's a lot of water, and if it's moving quick, even that can knock you off your feet. It's shockingly difficult. In fact, you can't just like walk. If the river's flowing this way and I'm going to that side, you don't just get to walk across like this. You kind of have to walk like this so that you're into the flow so it doesn't knock you down. And normally I bring my really nice rainbow sandals because they're sticky on my feet. When they get wet, they get kind of sticky. But I'm like, man, I figure the river's maybe a little high. I don't want to lose my rainbow sandals. So I went to Walmart and bought a size too small, the cheapos, you know, 98 cents for some sandals. And I put them on. I'm getting ready. You know, I don't have to take my pants off and be in my skivvies. He's not that high. Y'all don't want to picture that. But I pull my pants up to here. And I'm crossing, and you have trekking poles, so you're trekking so you can keep your balance. And about halfway through, it rips both my sandals off, like, bing, bing. Like, I don't even know how it happens. It's like the river ate my sandals. Like, I'm going like this, and all of a sudden, literally, it's like, thump, thump, and they're gone. I barely move my feet. And like, how did that happen? Now I'm in the middle of a river that's moving pretty quick, and I'm barefooted, and that's painful. And so also, the water is probably about 35 degrees. It's snow melt and spring water. It's cold. The wind's blowing. It's still snowing. I'm cold. My feet hurt after 30 seconds, and it's about as the river's about as wide as this building this way. And like, it's painful and it hurts. And I get to the other side, and I'm like, thank you, God, I didn't die. My buddy got to the other side as well, and I'm drying my feet off. I'm warming my feet up, but I'm really starting to kind of freak out because I've got four other river crossings. And that was actually the narrowest one. I take it back. There's one more that was a little more narrow, but it's more difficult. And so I'm like, God. We get dried off. We do our best to warm up and put shoes and clothes back on, packs back on, and start hiking up the mountain. And just before we leave, I just pray. I was like, listen, man, I'm going to need some sandals. I felt like some sandals or shoes. I felt like the Lord was with me. So I just prayed. I said, Lord, you know this was your trip. I'm praying that you provide sandals for me, or shoes. And in my brain, I saw these really cool shoes that I was going to find on the trail. Just, I prayed that they'd just find them on the trail. And I was like, yeah. So 5 to 7 minutes later, as we're going up this mountain, I look off to the side, and guess what I see? I'm not lying either. Guess what I see? No, I don't see a pair of shoes. I don't see a pair of shoes. You know what I see? I've never seen it on the trail before. I see a sole of a Teva sandal, just the thin part of a Teva sandal. That's all I see is a, but I'm like, oh, look at that, it's a Teva sandal. And I pick the Teva sandal up, and it's this floppy thing. I'm like, well, that's not what I pray for, and that sure as heck isn't what I saw in my brain, but I'm gonna take it, and I put it in my pack. And we keep going, and about 2 hours later, we get to the next river crossing, but the weather's gotten worse, it's gotten colder, it's still snowing. But the wind's not too bad. So we get down to the river. Now it's really, I'm trying to tell this story fast. We get down to the river, it's really wide. And it's the widest and the most difficult and the deepest crossing. But the problem is the river's so high, when we get to the crossing, I don't even recognize, it doesn't even look familiar. I had to like walk around and realize, oh man, I know where I am now. This is crazy because up the river, about it's deeper up the river, and there's class 2 rapids up there. And then about 150 yards, 200 yards down from the best place to cross, there's another, like it kind of gorges in, and it's at least class 2 rapids. And now we're debating, and we really want to do this hike, like, but the water looks like it's about this deep when we get in, and I'm hoping, I think it's shallower up over there, and it's probably close to, it's 150 yards across, but it's really deep, and it's a sketchy crossing. It's normally not, it's, even when it's low, you're still like here, but now we're like deciding, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we stopped, and we prayed. God, you got to show us, because you got two strong-headed, strong-willed guys that really want to do something. And stop, pray, Lord, you got to show us. I go back up the trail to see if I can scramble down and find a better place to cross, and this guy is going to see if he can light a fire so that if we do have to get to the other side, like we can light a fire so that we can warm up. It was cold. Y'all following me? Can you see this in your head? It was cold. But we get back. I get back. I can't find a better place to cross. I go all the way, almost all the way to the class two rapids. There's no place. There's really even deeper places. It's just not going to work. And I get back, and he's like, dude, I think we can do it. I think if we just, you know, you get down to your skivvies, you put your pack over your head, it can't be, even if we have to swim that, our packs will get wet. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, we lose a pack, we lose our life. This could be bad. And then we're just, God, maybe God will show us. And all of a sudden, the winds go from light and variable to straight line, 20 mile an hour winds, and the snow starts coming. And I'm like, all right, bro. He's like, I think that's my sign. And in that moment, I said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I think I had my sign up on the trail. Because divine intervention is a real thing. And it keeps us from what we want to do in our own strength and brings us to what we need to do in his strength. This is Peter. This is Peter. Please come as soon as possible. Look at verse 39. So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and the other clothes that Dorcas had made. But Peter asked them to leave the room, and he knelt and he prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. When you welcome divine appointments, put those two things up, divine appointments, not the third one, just the second one and two. When you welcome divine appointments, the result is always going to be healing and life. When you accept divine intervention, and even though it may not seem like the thing that you want to do, or sometimes it's not even the logical thing to do, you accept divine intervention, it always brings life and healing. This is God's plan for us when you trust him. This doesn't make sense. I got all these thousands of people here. Like, but now I just got this one dead lady, and these two guys are begging me to go. God, what do you have? And he showed Peter the next step. What happened? The lady comes to life. When you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's always for life. I don't know what would have happened if my buddy and I would have continued on and tried to cross that river, but we were dumb enough to do it had not God really given us two clear signs. One was with the wind, and it was clearly for him, wind and snow, and it was crazy. It was like that. And for me, when I'd gone back, I'd had a sign that was unusual. It was just unusual. Y'all probably going to think I'm crazy. Don't think I'm crazy. You want me to tell you? In the last few years, like, God's given me, like, I'll have, like, dreams. I had a dream before I went into the most difficult season of my life, and it didn't make sense at the time. It was both a good dream and a dream at the end that was kind of scary and weird, and I didn't understand it. But God gave that to me, and it's what got me through that difficult time. And it was divine. And when... And in the last few years, I've also had dreams about, I know this sounds crazy, about pigs. Like, I live out in the country, and there's pigs out on my property, wild pigs. I don't have, like, pigs, like, but, like, wild pigs, and I hate them because they tear up. Anybody? Hogs. It's hogs. Anybody got wild hogs? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You ever hunt hogs? I hate them. And historically and biblically, they've been a picture of that which is unclean. And when I'm walking back, and I've had dreams about that, and like God's just warned me and showed me, it's been some cool stuff. Y'all don't think I'm crazy, but God doesn't always speak to us like in English. He doesn't always speak to us in like, I wish it'd be a text or an email. Heck, I'd even take snail mail from Jesus. That'd be great. I'm opening that thing right there in the driveway. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so, but he's shown me in dreams. It's been really pretty cool. And so when I'm walking back up the trail to go look for a better place to cross, I see this. My head's down because I don't have any of my gear on, and I'm running, and it's uphill. And I look up to a log crossing. It's a big log, like a pine tree that had been knocked down. And when I look at it, I get like this flash. Like, I know that sounds wild. I don't know how else to describe it. And there's a knot in the. I realize afterwards there's a knot in the log. And there's a gouge in it. But when I look up and see it, it looks like a pig. Kind of like, oh, whew. It's like, Lord, what was that? And for both of us, he very clearly showed us, don't go that way. go a different way. We had to go back. And I don't know what would have happened if we'd have crossed, but I know this. Anytime that's life. That's life. Because you welcome divine appointments, you accept divine intervention. Look at verse 42. After Tabitha comes, so Aeneas gets healed, Tabitha comes back to life. Verse 42 says, then he gave her his hand and helped her up, and he called her in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. Look at this. And the news spread through the whole town, and many people believed in the Lord. It was a duplicate of what happened in Lydda. Now, it's happening where Tabitha lives, and so now you have literally twice as much outpouring of God's power in people's lives because they see the miraculous, because Peter was willing to welcome divine appointments, because he accepted divine intervention. And then he's there, and then here's what happens. This is the end of that chapter, and he stayed in Joppa. He stayed in Joppa where Tabitha was, and now he's teaching everybody there, and then something big happens. And here's the third thing that you have to know. Here's God's plan for you in following his leading for the next step. It changed the world because Peter welcomed the divine appointment, because he accepted divine intervention. But here's the third thing. Can we put that up? He embraced divine revelation. So here's the progression. This crazy appointment, divine, with a paralyzed guy. A whole city gets rocked. He follows two crazy guys that are begging him to come for a dead woman, but he knows it's the Lord, so he follows. She comes back to life, and the whole city, the region, now it's a major port. Thousands come to follow Jesus. And then now we see this back to divine revelation. I'm just going to read a portion of it, and we'll be done in just a moment. It says, in Caesarea, this is the next verse. In Caesarea, remember, we put in chapters and verse, there wasn't. This was a letter. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man. Okay, but remember, he's not a Jew. He's a Roman officer. The Jews were living in an occupied land. There was an invading army that had conquered them. They were Romans. And the Jews, before this ever happened, thought that they were God's chosen people. They were the righteous ones, and they became very proud. They became very dark, and Jesus even said that they had hard hearts. And so there was actually at that time a prayer that they would pray, that the men would pray, and they would pray, Lord, it was a prayer of thanks. Thank you that you didn't make me a Gentile, a non-Jew, a woman, misogynist, or a dog. These were some hard-hearted people. And so there's a devout, God-fearing man who's a non-Jew. This is a problem. I hope you understand this. Do y'all get it? Yeah. Come on, do y'all understand this? Yeah. Because it changes the world. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3:00, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. So he had a vision. He had a vision. Everybody say vision. Because God just doesn't speak like through his word. Can I just remind you that this is black and white on a printed page, and the devil knows every word probably way, way, way better than you. And yet he's still the devil. You can read this and get absolutely nothing out of it. Do you know that? But it can come to life when you read it. It's like a highlighter and like, I got something out of this. This is how God speaks. He uses his word, but sometimes he uses vision. Cornelius had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said, and Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel, and the angel replied, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. We're called to embrace divine revelation. This Roman non-Jew had a vision. Hey, you need to go get Simon Peter. And so he sends men to go get Simon Peter. And so they're on a journey to go get him, a multi-day journey. And so they show up into Joppa, where Peter's living. But what they don't know is that Peter's taking a nap. And I'm not going to read this for expediency's sake. Peter's taking a nap, but it's a divine nap. And Peter has his own vision and his own dream. And in this dream, he sees this canvas sheet thing being dropped down from heaven, and it's full of all sorts of unclean things, pork, birds that he can't eat, animals and food that he can't touch, lizards. And God says, you need to arise and eat. And Peter says, no, I can't do that. Multiple times it comes down, and Peter's response is the same. I can't do that. I've never eaten anything that's unclean. And God says, what I've made clean, you can eat. I'm paraphrasing all of this. And as God speaks that to him, he sees this thing coming down full of unclean things. And God speaks it to him and says, what I've made clean, you can eat. Then he hears this. Peter! Because the guys that were sent by Cornelius, the man who had the vision from an angel to go get Peter, that wakes him up. Oh. And Peter goes down and realizes it's another moment of this. And he follows him to Caesarea from Joppa. And when he gets there, which is at least a 2-day, maybe even 3-day journey on foot, it's about 50 miles away. When he gets there, Cornelius has all of his friends and family ready for him. And Cornelius says, hey, the reason that I told you to come, because he doesn't know why. He's like, I had a vision 4 days ago that I needed to get you. So you have a message for me. What is it? And Peter begins to speak to him and tell him about who Jesus is. And Cornelius and his whole family, that place where they're at turns into the place of God. The people that he's connected to become the people of God because the power of God shows up. And they realize that God's purpose is for them to follow Christ. And then Peter says this in verses 34 through 36. Peter says, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what's right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The light of the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world. Psalms 119, Old Testament. Now, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. You want to live out God's plan for your life. Welcome divine appointment. Accept divine intervention. And embrace divine revelation. You can bow your heads. Maybe you're here and today that you're having some light bulbs go off. That's divine revelation. Maybe this was an appointment today for you. Maybe God's intervening today and he's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, turn to me, trust me. The results for Peter were healing, were life, and were transformation. It changed the world because from that day, following Jesus wasn't just a Jewish thing. It was for the whole world. Because Peter said, I see clearly there's peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all things and everyone. Maybe today you've had a revelation that you've not kept him as Lord. Maybe you've chosen your way. The Bible calls that sin. But Jesus says, I am the way. And today he's calling you to follow him. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I know that today I sense that. There's some light bulbs going on. There's divine revelation because there was a divine appointment and God's intervening right now. Maybe you're here and you know that he is knocking on the door of your heart and he's calling you to turn from your life of your way. Really, it's death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you need to come to the place where you start all over, this is a moment of what the Bible says is being born again. There's life that comes because you surrendered your way and you followed Jesus. Maybe today that's you. And you say, Pastor, this message was for me. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you're here, you say, Pastor, this message is for me. I need to follow Jesus' plan for my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, this was for me. Come on, raise them high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Where's all of us going to pray right now? Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I turn to you. I turn from my way. I choose yours. I receive your forgiveness. I believe that you have good things for me. I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.